Blog Talk Radio.
The recording has started.
Peace and blessings, people of God. God bless you tonight, and we want to welcome you to this open heaven on tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless each and every one of you on tonight. Truly, 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 we are grateful. We're always so grateful to be here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Just want to welcome you. Welcome you and ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to come on out and be with us on tonight. Amen. We are grateful. Glory to God. This is our teach night. Amen. We thank God for the man of God that he has availed to come and be with us every Friday night. Amen. He has a standing schedule, and we're so grateful that he has agreed to come and yield himself in the service of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We just give God thanks and we give God praise for that. So wherever you're listening from, we just want to welcome you. If you're listening internationally, we just welcome you on tonight. We welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. We are now broadcasting it in over 80 countries, and we're so grateful for wherever you're listening from, whatever time zone you're in. We just bless the Lord for you on tonight. Thank you for taking the time out to come to be with us. We are indeed grateful to have you with us. We want to ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to come on out and be with us on tonight. We're excited for what the Lord is about to do. We're excited about the word that's about to come forth. Amen. We are indeed excited about you being here with us. Amen. We're excited, amen, because truly the Lord is doing some great things on the line. So whatever you need on tonight, we want to let you know God's got it. Whatever you need, whatever you have, whatever you're standing in need of on tonight, people of God, God's got it. Amen. We're supplying the faith, and we believe, glory to God, that he shall bring forth, amen, that you need or that you, amen, desire of him. So again, we just want to say welcome once. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. God bless you. God bless you all tonight. Amen. As you're coming in, we want to ask you to go ahead and get your pen and pencil, get your pen, your paper, your pad, your phone, whatever you're going to take notes with on tonight, go ahead and get prepared as you're inviting people to come in. Listen, you just got to multitask. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and invite people to come on. Amen. And at the same time, get your pen and your paper. And listen, at the same time, find you a spot. Find you a good spot. Amen. Pull away, steal away, Lord God, because you want to give all of your attention to what the Lord will say and what he will do on tonight. Give all of your time, all of your attention. We don't want to miss anything. Amen. Glory to God. So listen, people of God, while you're doing that, amen, again, we want to thank all of our international listeners, those that are listening by radio, those that are listening perhaps by Facebook, those that are just dialing in on the web, tuning in on the web. We just want to thank God for you. We want to let you know that your presence is known, and we thank God for you for wherever you're tuning in from. We just bless the Lord for you. We want to let you know that we love you, people of God. We love you. God loves you. Yes, and we're just here just trying to spread more love. Amen. Glory to God. God is love. We're just trying to spread, amen, to let you know, glory to God, that you are not alone. Wherever you may find yourself, we want to let you know that the Lord is there. Amen. The song said he was there all the time. Yes, waiting patiently in line, waiting until we came to ourselves, waiting until we really looked up and really looked unto the hill from whence cometh our help. Amen. So he was there all of the time for us, and he's there all of the time for you. So God bless you tonight. As you're getting prepared to come in, I just want to go ahead and acknowledge my leaders on tonight, thanking him first and foremost, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he's truly the head of this line, people of God. This is his vision, his work that he has entrusted unto us. Listen, we had nothing to do with it. We just availed ourselves to be used by him. And we thank God, amen. Now we're going on 3 years. April the 6th will be 3 years. And my, has the time flown? My, oh my, has God done some miraculous things on this line. So we thank God for him, for he's in control. Amen, Jesus, he's in control, and he is, listen, people, God, he's maneuvering. Amen, and he's taking us. He has a vision and a mission in mind, and people of God, wherever he leads us, there we shall follow. So we thank God for you again. Go ahead and invite a couple of people to come in. We don't want to be here by ourselves, but we certainly want to do our due diligence and invite someone to come. As we always say, invite them to come, people of God, because the very word that they hear may be the very word that brings them out of a dark situation, brings them out of a dark place. The very word that they hear may be the very word that saves their lives. So again, people of God, go ahead and invite a couple of people to come. Tell them that you would love for them to be with us on tonight. Amen. Want to acknowledge on tonight, glory to God, our celestial intercessor, the late Apostle Dr. S. B. James, and as we always say, people of God, it is indeed a trailblazer. Amen. Had been on the field for many, many years until the very day, amen, Jesus, that he left this earth working, planting seeds, toiling in the vineyard. So we bless God for him, people of God, and thanking God on tonight, amen, for our presiding Bishop K.A. Tina. Amen, Jesus. Thanking God on tonight for our senior apostle on tonight, Apostle Samuel Huggins, James, and Lady Rachel. Amen. Thanking God for them. Thanking God again for Bishop K.A. Tina, for Lady Tina. Amen, Jesus. Just giving God thanks and praise. Amen. For, amen, he is, glory to God, my pastor as well. So we give God thanks and we give God praise for him. Amen. For them, for these leaders. We thank God for your leaders, people of God, wherever your leaders are. Amen. We thank God for them. Amen. We didn't get here by ourselves. Oh, no. Glory to God. But we thank God for them tilling the ground, for them feeding us that we can eat and be nourished and grow thereby. So we bless God. We give God thanks. We give God praise on tonight. We thank God on tonight for our PNN advisors, each and every one of them. Glory to God, whatever place and space that they're holding in this outreach ministry, we just bless God for each and every one of them. We bless the Lord for them, thanking him for our prayer warriors, thanking him tonight, glory to God, for our scripture reader, thanking him tonight, people of God, for, amen, each and every one of you, each and every one of you that takes the time out to come and be a part of this Prayer News Network Global. We thank God for you on tonight. Amen. We thank God again for your leaders. We just bless them. We thank him. Amen. Truly, the Lord is doing a great work in the midst of us. And for this, we are so very glad. Amen. Glory to God. So again, if you would go ahead and invite a couple of people to come and be with us. If you have Facebook, go out there and put that text message out there. Let them know, hey, join me now on the Prayer News Network Global. Amen. Glory to God. So people, God, as you're doing that, amen, as we always do, as the order is established, we always sanctify the line. We want to get the line ready, get the line prepared for the word that is to come forth. Amen. As you bring your hearts and your spirits in, glory to God, as we, glory to God, clear the atmosphere that the word of God may have free course indeed. Amen. So tonight, people of God, we're going to have, amen, we're going to ask Missionary Fan if she will come and sanctify the line for us. And after her, we want to ask, amen, Sister Mary Holland if she will come with our scripture reading. Glory to God, in that order, as we prepare for the word on tonight. Amen. God bless you, Missionary Fan.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We lift you up this day in the name of Jesus. We come before you, Lord God, once again, Lord God, just to tell you thank you for all things, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, in this place, Lord God, asking you to look upon us, Lord God, on this line tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord God, to let the word of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, Lord, let it be acceptable unto you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight, asking you to look upon each and every one of us, Lord God, and forgive, Lord God, of any sin, Lord God. Forgive our iniquities, our transgressions. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon us, Lord God, and have mercy. We come tonight, Lord God, with a repentant heart, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Anything that we may have said, anything that we may have done, Lord God, any thoughts that we may have had that wasn't like you, Lord, we ask you right now to look upon us and forgive us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, Lord God, in this place, Lord God, on one accord, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, ask you to look upon every house, Lord God, that represents tonight, every city, every country, every state, Lord God. We all come tonight just to lift you up and hear, Father, from you. Lord God, we come tonight, Lord God, asking you to move by your spirit tonight, Lord God, in this teaching spirit, Lord God. We ask you to help us to hear what the Spirit is saying until tonight. Lord God, open up our understanding, Lord God, for the word that's going to come tonight. We ask you right now, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, to decrease in the flesh that you may increase in our life. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, have your way tonight on this line, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to move. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to save. We ask you to deliver. We ask, Lord God, to set free. We ask you to heal. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, if there's one on the line that needs salvation, we ask you, Lord God, to move mightily tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask you to bless, Lord God, the man of God that come tonight, Lord God, to take us further in your word. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, Lord God, give us what you have given us to him that we may understand it and grow. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we want a spiritual growth tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, move this night, Lord God, on Milton Bradley. Lord God, we ask you to touch her right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, move on her behalf. Lord God, you see it, you know everything. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, just have your way tonight on the line, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord God, for you're worthy. You are so worthy of every praise, Lord God. Every praise, you are worthy, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, Jesus.
Giving honor to God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the Evangelist Bradley, to the PNN advisors, to the PNN prayer wall, and to all of our listeners near and far. Scripture reading will be coming from the third chapter of Proverbs, the first through the 12th verse. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be help to thy neighbor and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thine increase. So shall thy bones be filled with plenty, and thy precious shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son in whom he delighteth. I have read to you the third chapter of Proverbs, the first through the 12th verse. Blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all the doers of God's holy word.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We bless the Lord on tonight for that prayer. Amen. The prayer of sanctification, getting us ready. Amen. Getting us prepared for the word. Amen. We thank God, missionary fan. We thank God on tonight for the scripture reading. Glory to God. Oh, so appropriate. Amen, Jesus. So we bless him on tonight. We thank him on tonight. Glory to God again. People of God, we just want to ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to come in. It is Friday night. Glory be to God. It is Friday night. Amen. So we bless God on tonight. Amen. We just want to break into that schedule. Glory to God, whatever they may have going on, we just want to let them know, amen, Jesus, that we are here. Amen. And that we would love for them to come and join us. Amen. Go ahead and invite them, a couple of people. People of God, invite on tonight. Amen. Invite. Glory be to God. Let them know again that we're here. Amen. And that we would love for them to be here on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. While you're doing that, glory to God, we're just going to, amen, just sing a little song of praise on tonight that just dropped in my spirit. Glory to God, while you're inviting on tonight.
Glory to God. We just want to sing just a little bit of it on tonight. Amen, Jesus. Glory to God. This song says, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore Jesus, is Christ, our Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. He Christ our Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every time we come together and come into his presence, people of God, amen, we come to worship him. We come to adore him. We come to give him praise and adoration. We come. Glory to God. Just to bless him. Just to bless his name. Just to bless him for who he is. Glory be to God. To bless him, people of God, for all that he's done. To bless him, for he's worthy of the honor and he's worthy of the praise. And for this, we give him thanks. We give him praise. Amen, Jesus. I love that song. Amen, Jesus. Glory be to God. Some people just sing it on Christmas. Amen, Jesus. Glory to God. But it's not a Christmas song. Amen. For he's worthy to be praised. Glory to God. He came. Amen, Jesus. He came. Glory to God. He grew up. Yes, he did. Amen, Jesus. He came up out of that manger. Glory to God. Amen. And he died the death of sin on the cross. Glory to God. He did it for us, people of God. And then, amen, he came back and he showed himself, amen, unto the people that he is Lord. Amen. He came, he died, and he rose again. And because he lives, we live. And so we give God thanks and we give God praise on tonight. We give him the glory
Amen. We worship and adore him. Glory to God. Just worship him and adore him. Glory be to God. We got to, amen, Jesus, people of God, we just got to release ourselves into praise and release ourselves into worship. Amen, Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. Until the Holy Ghost just take over. Amen. Till he just take over and consume us. Glory to God that we can give him a perfected praise. Glory be to God. I'm talking about a perfected praise. Glory be to God. Without spot, without wrinkle, a praise. Glory to God that he seeks to inhabit. Yes. Amen. So we bless God on tonight. We bless him. We thank him on tonight. We glorify him, people of God. Amen, Jesus. And as we're preparing, amen, for the word on tonight, we're just so grateful. Again, go ahead and get your pen and your paper. Amen. Listen, go ahead and invite someone to come out on tonight. Glory to God. Invite. Glory to God. For truly, there is a word from the Lord for us. Amen. So we give him thanks. We give him praise on tonight. And people of God, we want to introduce you to our speaker on tonight. He is no stranger, glory to God, but certainly has a long-standing commitment for Friday night for as long as the Lord will say the same. Amen. And we give God thanks. We give God praise for him saying yes unto the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. He's saying yes to the Lord. Amen. We have certainly been blessed. Amen. Glory to God. So we're traveling up to Atlanta, Georgia, right up in that Atlanta area. Glory to God, that Metro Atlanta, glory be to God. We're traveling up there on tonight by way of Applied Word Ministries. Applied Word Ministries, people of God. We want you to receive, amen, Jesus. Glory to God, give your attention, amen. Give your heart to hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say unto us, his people. People of God, we want you to receive now none other than Minister Craig Cannon. God bless you. God bless you, sir.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. You know, praise God. Praise God. God is just so, so good. And God is so, so sovereign. God knows everything. I can't continue to even stress that. We don't really realize as we go in our everyday lives how God is ordering our steps. You know, the Word of God says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And God is navigating us through this thing we call life. And even when we don't see him and we don't know him, he's always there. He loves us unconditionally. He's a just God, a merciful God, a God that's full of grace and mercy. He's an all-powerful, all-knowing God. He's an everlasting God. He's a holy God. He's a loving God, a God that is graceful. He's an eternal God. He's a wise God, a divine God. He's a faithful God. Yes, he is a good God. God's divinity and God's mercy and God's truth is everlasting. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's all-wise. Just take a moment and think about that. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wise. God knew this very day would be happening, that you would be listening on the phone, that each of us, including myself, will be speaking. God knew that COVID was going to happen before COVID even happened. God knows where you're at right now in your situation, in your circumstance, wherever you're at in the world right now, whatever you're going through, whatever you're involved in, God knows it. He has an answer for it. He has an answer for you because he loves you unconditionally. I'm going to do a teaching one day on love, and it's absolutely incredible. because, you know, God has a love. His love is referred to as the Zoe love. That's the God kind of love. That's an unconditional love. There are many different types of love. There's many different types of love, something we were never taught. But God's love is unconditional. That means it doesn't matter what you've done or what you hadn't done. He loves you because that is his nature. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to come before your people and to minister to these, your sheep. I thank you, Lord God, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted, and unhindered by any evil, satanic, or demonic force. Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and you will think through my mind. Let it be none of me and all of you. Let me decrease so that you may increase. Empty me of me and fill me with you. I give you all praise, glory, and honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we started with Genesis. And we got all the way up to chapter 5. I'm going to pick up from there. But before I start that, I want to reflect back on something that really blessed me as I'm going to do a little quick, what I call a quick mini Bible study. It's going to take me only about 5 minutes to go over something. The sister today, when she read Proverbs, the Holy Spirit said something to me when she was reading Proverbs 3. So I want you all to turn to Proverbs 3 right quick. We're just going to go quickly through this. It just really blessed me. You know, I praise God for the sisters who read that because, you know, just flowing with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God drops a nugget in my spirit when she was reading it. And, you know, it's just interesting when you're listening to the Word of God how sometimes certain words will just jump off the page at you and God will give you a revelation just that quick. And God is always revealing himself to us if we're listening. He wants us to listen, to hear. That's why it's so important to hear the Word. We talked about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Proverbs 3, chapter 1, I'm going to read just the first few verses. And she read it earlier. My son, forget not my law. Forget not my law. Forget not my law, the Word of God. But let thine heart keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep my commandments. First, don't forget his law. Let your heart keep his commandments. Now watch this. So don't forget his law and keep his commandments. Now watch this. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And that's what jumped off the page when she read that to me. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Shall they add to thee. Shall they add to thee. Length of days and long life and peace. You want length of days, you want to have a long life, and you want to have peace. Think about that. If you want to live a long time with peace, God just told us what's going to add to that. God just told us what's going to add to that. He said, forget not my law and let thine heart keep my commandments. So if you stay in this word and try to keep God's commandments, it's going to add to your life. You're going to have a long life, length of days and long life. Not only are you going to have a long life, but you're going to have peace with it. So God's word can even increase the length of your life and also give you peace. Let's keep reading. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. What does he mean by that? Don't let mercy and truth get away from you. Don't let it, when he said don't let it forsake you, he's saying don't lose it. Keep it. Hang on to it tight. Hang on to mercy and truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them. Bind what? What's them? Bind mercy and truth about thy neck. Write them on the tablet of thine heart. You know, when I read that, I was like, okay, Lord, how can I bind it about my neck? Should I get me a necklace that has on it mercy and truth and just wear it around my neck? Maybe I should do that. That may be put me as a reminder that God is a God of mercy and God is a God of truth. And I need to operate in mercy with others, and I need to operate in truth with others. Bind them about my neck. Write them on the table of my heart. Look at that. Write them on the table of my heart. That means get it on the inside of you. He ain't talking about that fleshy pink thing that's beating on the inside of us. He's talking about our spirit. Put it on the inside of you, mercy and truth. How do you do that? When somebody needs mercy, you show mercy, just like God showed you mercy. When somebody needs truth, you speak truth, just like God always speaks truth. Now watch this. When you do that, so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of not only God, but also man. You want favor? You know, I hear people say this phrase, I walk in the favor of God. Okay, you walk in the favor of God. Where does that favor come from? God right here tells you that when you bind mercy and truth about your neck and write it on the table of your heart, you're going to have favor. Not only are you going to have favor with God, but you also going to have favor with man. Man will be doing things for you. They won't even understand why. God just told you how to do it. He just told you how to increase the length of your life. And he also just told you how to get favor with him and with man by operating in mercy and truth. And the last thing I'm going to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. The next verse says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. See, these are instructions. I love the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to teach on it more. Proverbs has given us instructions. I just gave you three instructions. The first one, I'm going to end with the last one. The first one says, don't forget his law and keep his commandments if you want long life and peace. That's verses 1 and 2. The second one says, bind mercy and truth about your neck and write it on the table of your heart. Operate in mercy and truth, and you're going to have favor in the sight of God and man. And what's favor? People are going to be doing favors for you. They're going to be doing things for you that you didn't earn and you didn't deserve. It's like God gave us grace. See, we didn't earn it and we don't deserve it, but God gave it to us anyway because he's God. Well, God can also move on the heart of man to show us favor. They won't even understand why they're showing us favor. Some of y'all are going to get raises, get promotions, and they ain't going to even know why they're giving it to you. God can move on their heart because God holds the heart of the king in his hand. And he can turn it to and fro. And the king is the one who is in authority over you, whether that be your boss, whether that be a judge, whether that be a policeman, whatever. Whoever God has allowed to be in authority over you, you're going to have favor with them when you bind mercy and truth on your heart. See, Proverbs is totally book of instructions. And the last set of instructions, and then I'm going to jump back over to Genesis, trust in the Lord with all your heart, okay? You got to trust God. Lean not. That word lean not means to fall back not to what you understand. Lean not, fall back not to your own understanding. And then it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You want God's direction? That's what directing your path means. You want God's direction? Trust him. Trust him. Don't lean to your own understanding. Even when it's something you don't understand, even when it's something that doesn't make sense, trust God. And he will give you, he will direct your path. He's going to give you directions. He's going to give you directions. So I'm going to stop right there. That's my little mini Bible study. You want to know how to apply the Word of God? I just showed you three ways how to apply the Word of God. Application is important. Faith without works is dead. Apply it. Take it and start doing it. Start operating in mercy and truth. Start trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Stop leaning to what you understand because you don't know everything. None of us do. God sees the whole picture. He declared the end from the beginning. He sees everything. He knows everything. We can't see the full picture, so we're making decisions based on wherever we're at in that little timeline. But God sees the whole picture. He knows what's going to end up. So we got to trust him. That's where that trust come in. So operate in mercy and truth. Keep his law and his commandments. That means operate in his word, and you'll have long life and peace. You want long life, you want peace, keep his commandments. And don't forget his law. Okay, let's go back over to Genesis now. And we're going to pick up where we left off. And we left off in Genesis chapter 5. We had just learned. The last thing we learned, we were going through the generations. And in Genesis chapter 5, we went through all the generations from Adam. And we had learned, you know, about Adam and Eve and their two kids. And then one killed the other. One was a murderer that had been marked by God. And then God gave Adam and Eve another child named Seth. And then we had started going through all of his bloodline. And it hit a certain point in chapter 5, verse 24, where there was a person named Enoch. And let's back up here to verse 20. It says, chapter 5, verse 20, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And then verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. That is key. Underline, circle, double underline. That is key and very important. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. The only other time you ever saw that before now was when Adam walked with God in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. And now you see another man, Enoch, walk with God after he begat Methuselah. 300 years. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There's the rapture right there. There's a part of a rapture. God took Enoch. He never saw death. Literally took him off the earth. He didn't die like a regular man do and have to be buried and all that. He was taken. The Bible just said it right there. I didn't say it. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God was very pleased with Enoch to be able to take him. Also, God was giving us a foreshadowing of the rapture. I believe that's why this is in the scriptures. Everything God's going to do, he's already done. So for people who don't believe in the rapture, there's a foreshadowing of the rapture right there. A human being was on the earth, and he was taken. And he was not. Which means just like during the rapture, when all these millions of people vanish, and the rest of the people who are left behind on the earth wonder, what happened to these people? Where'd they go? What happened to them? And they're going to try to explain it, and they're going to have an explanation. I'm giving you the explanation right here. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, but God took him. God took him, off the earth. And that's very critical in his bloodline. And then we went all the way down and read, and we saw that after Enoch came Methuselah. Methuselah begat a man named Lamech. Lamech begat a man named Noah. So Noah is of that bloodline of Enoch. Now let's keep reading. And let's go down to, we learn that Noah, verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called him, his name, Noah. And watch this, saying, this shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. We know the ground that the Lord has cursed. God had cursed the ground because Adam and Eve sinned against him when they ate of the fruit of the tree. So part of Adam's punishment was the ground was going to be cursed. Why? Because Adam was taken from the ground. That's why God cursed the ground, because that's where Adam was taken from. And he said, from dust you came, and from dust you shall return. And even to this day, when we all die, we return back to the dust of the earth from which we were made. And you say, no, we don't. No, we don't. We go in a casket. Yep, you go in a casket. And guess what? All those bones eventually break back down into dirt. You open that casket up, sometimes it might be preserved for a long time. 50, 100 years later, you open it up, there'll be no bones, and that's going to be dirt. Them bones are going to go right back to what God created them to make. They put all kinds of stuff in there to try to preserve it, but that's what it's going to go back to because that's ultimately what it was made from. So, verse 32, and Noah was 500 years old. Look at that. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's son. So let's pick up, we're going to go through chapter 6 now. Let's pick up and see what happens. Why it's so important to read the scriptures. So as you go through it, you're going to begin not only to understand the nature and character of God, but you're going to also understand what was happening with humans after God created us. You know, the human species, male and female. And it came to pass, verse 6, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, look at this, the Lord said, God's getting ready to speak. Now let's go, I'm going to pause for a moment here. We know God declared the end from the beginning. So that means this whole thing in the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is going to go full circle. All right? In the beginning, you're going to see some things. You're going to also see those same things in the end. So as we get closer to the end, you're going to start seeing some similar things that happened in the beginning because it's going to go all full circle. So let's keep reading. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, but that he is also flesh, meaning man is also flesh. God is not flesh. God is a spirit. God is not flesh, God is the spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what the scriptures say. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But man is also flesh. Now let's get the three parts of man. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. That body is the fleshy part of man. We talked about that three parts of man. We're made in the image of God, and God is three parts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So you got man is a spirit, he lives in a body, he possesses a soul. I'm going to do something right now. I want to just show you guys something, okay? You guys have, for those of you all who have paper and pencil, and you got a piece of paper, I want you to draw a big circle on that paper, right? Draw a big circle on that paper. And when you draw that circle on that paper, if you have an eraser, I want you to erase a part of that circle in five places. Just put a little erase. It's going to open that circle up in five different places. All right. And as you erase that circle in five different places, over each one of those places, I want you to write this word over each one of those little spaces where there's a little gap. I want you to write eyes. You write eyes over one space. Then you write nose over the next space. Then you write mouth over the third space. Right? Then you write tongue over the next space. And you write hands over the last space. Those are your five senses, right? Those are your five senses. Those are your gateways. Those are your gates. What you see, what you touch, what you taste, what you smell, and what you hear. Those are the five senses. This is how we, as human beings, contact the world. Now, if you draw another circle on the inside of that circle, a smaller circle on the inside of that circle, on that smaller circle, I want you to write on that line that you drew that circle, the smaller circle, I want you to write soul, S-O-U-L, right? And then on the outer circle where you had all those gaps, On the very outside of the outer circle, I want you to write body. That's your body. And there's one more circle we're going to draw, and that circle is going to be on the inside of the smaller circle. So there's one more circle I want you to draw on the inside of the smaller circle, and that circle is your spirit. So you can write the word spirit over that circle. That's the man right there. That represents who we are. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body, and he possesses a soul. And all those gates are what we use to contact, those gates that are on our bodies, what we use to contact this thing we call the world. We touch it, we see it, we taste it, we smell it, and we hear it. That's what that body makes contact with the world. That's the fleshy part that God is talking about, the fleshy part of man. That's the fleshy part. God doesn't have that. God doesn't have that. God's the spirit. He's only spirit. Because the word of God said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So that gives you kind of an idea. And as you begin to meditate on that some days, just start looking at that and start thinking like that. I am a spiritual being, but I'm living inside of a human body. And I possess a soul. I possess a soul. And it's so important for us to guard those gates, because those gates allow things inside of us that impacts our soul and ultimately attempts to impact our spirit.
Praise the Lord. I believe we lost our speaker. Praise the Lord. Amen, Jesus, as we're giving them an opportunity to come on back in. Amen, Jesus. We want to just ask you to go ahead and invite somebody to come in and be with us on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Just go ahead and invite someone. Our speaker comes on. It was happened to him.
Praise God. I apologize. Praise it looks him. Like I got dropped.
That's okay. That's okay. God bless you.
Yep. Okay, well, praise God. I was explaining something, but I'll go ahead and pick back up, and I'll start on that spirit, soul, and body another day. But chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God just defined that. He said, our days shall be 120 years. Nobody's going to live beyond 120 years, because God just defined it. He said, and his days shall be 120 years. That's the longest we will live. Now, we can live less than that, but we won't go beyond that. And it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of man, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were old men of renown. Now, I'm going to teach on that one day, but I won't get too deep into that right now. But the sons of God coming into the daughters of man, it's something that is mind blowing. I can't really teach on it right now until I get all of my information together. But I'm going to prove to you that there is two species that are occurring right there. You know, there's some things that are occurring there in those scriptures that we need to understand, because the sons of God coming into the daughters of men, and they bear children unto them. The children, the offsprings of those were something that they were giants. And how do I know that? Because there was one of them that was a giant that we'll learn about later on, and his name was Goliath. Goliath was a giant. He was a different type of human. He was a mixture or a crossbreed. And it deals directly with the sons of God coming into the daughter of man. And we'll talk about that another day. But anyway, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So now God is seeing wickedness throughout the earth. Look at that. The wickedness of man. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Evil continually. And I believe that's what we're going back to in these last days. I believe it's going back to that. The thoughts of man became evil continually. That means everything he thought about was evil. God saw that. He saw it. It's just wicked. It's just evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Look at that. It repented. Change of heart. That word repent means a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction. But God said it repented that he had made man. Because he was so disappointed in his creation. Because they were only thinking about evil and wickedness things, wicked things, continually. Not just once in a time, but continually. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Praise God. God said he will destroy man from the face of the earth. He said, I will destroy man from the face of the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's twice he then said evil continually. Continuous evil. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. Excuse me, I mixed that up. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. This is verse 7. And the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. But it repented me that I had made them. God was just regretting that he had ever made them. Now, this is God talking. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man out of the entire earth found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Now, why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Why would you think Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? And if you think about it, you will see what I'm saying. Just like his great-great-great, I guess you would say granddad or whatever, great-great-granddad, who walked with God, Noah also walked with God. That's why he found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And look at this, look at this last verse. And Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. But God took it. And now Noah walked with God. Now I want you all to think about that. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Isn't that similar to like the rapture? Now, Noah walked with God, and he found grace in God's eyes, and God's getting ready to destroy the earth. Look at the parallelism there. We're going to be raptured out before all this evil takes place on the earth. And I believe this. I'm going to tell you my theory. I firmly believe this. I believe the only thing that's holding back God's judgment on the earth right now is the Holy Spirit. God has us on the earth, and his spirit is on the inside of us. If we leave, or when we leave, not if, because we are going to leave, when we leave, the Holy Spirit is going to be going with us. And there's going to be no restraint to evil on the earth. It's going to be just like the scripture says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end be. And now we're about to talk about the days of Noah. So if you understand the days of Noah, you're going to understand how the end's going to be. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 10, the earth was government's corrupt. The policemen are corrupt. The people are corrupt. Everybody's corrupt. I thought that's an interesting word for us to be using today when it's straight out the Bible right here. In the beginning, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's the day we're coming upon now. We're filled with violence. Every time you turn on the television, there's something violent. Somebody done robbed. Somebody done killed, stole, or destroyed. Just like Satan. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. So it's getting full of violence. It was just like that back then. See, there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible tells you that. God declared the end from the beginning. So like I said, it's going to go full circle. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh had corrupted his way. God only sees one person who on the earth that has found grace in his eyes. And because that person walks with him, he's not corrupt. And that's Noah. And God looked upon the earth, and God saw all corrupt, all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look at that. God told Noah this. God said unto Noah, God spoke directly to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The end of all flesh. Now, God said this. That's terrifying. I can't even imagine how Noah must have thought. Basically, God said, I'm getting ready to kill everything. Kill them all. I'm going to kill all. I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to kill the animals. I'm going to kill the people. I'm killing everything. You're going to be the only one alive, you and your family. That is horrific to hear that directly from your creator. And he, you know, when God speaks it, it's done. It's a done deal. The end of all flesh is coming for me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He ain't just going to destroy them. He's going to also destroy them with the earth. So he said, okay, Noah. He's going to give Noah specific instructions. See, God can give you specific instructions. You wonder, well, what should I be doing? What's my purpose? How should I do this, Lord? Pray about it. God will tell you exactly what to do. Now, whether you're going to have enough faith to believe it and enough trust to do it is another story. But he's going to tell you exactly what to do. He told Noah exactly what to do. How come he can't tell us? Look what he told Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. He didn't just say make an ark. That's too generic. I want you to use gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark. I want you to put rooms in it. And shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. Look at this. Very specific instructions. Very specific instructions. See, we're thinking God over there, out there somewhere. But God sticks close to us and a brother. We just got to ask him. Very specific instructions. He's talking to a man on the earth, giving him very specific instructions. Look what he tells him. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Wow. Is that how much more detail do you need to get? 300 cubits, the breadth of it shall be 50 cubits, and the height of it shall be 30 cubits. Very specific instructions. You know, I'm going to share something from my studies, and not in the scriptures here, but just historical studies. And you won't hear about it on the news, but supposedly they found the ark in a mountain over in Turkey. And whatever this thing is that they found, this structure, it's interesting that it measures these exact measurements in the Bible. The exact measurements, 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. But the Turkish government is kind of keeping that under wraps. The world probably, you know, it'll disrupt all the other religions. First of all, how did this structure get in one of the highest mountains in the world? Oh, I didn't mention that part. It's found on a mountain in Turkey. Let's keep going. Verse 16. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubic shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set aside thereof. With lower, second, and third story shall thou make it. Look how detailed this is. And behold, I, even I, do bring, now God's going to say, you build a boat,
And I'm getting ready to tell you what I'm going to do. And behold, I, God's talking about himself, even I, I'm talking about me, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, wherein is the breath of life. Okay? If y'all remember back in Genesis, it says God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That was doing creation. That was doing creation. So you gotta really, if you go back into creation, let me, Holy Spirit, define this so I can show them this. Praise God. When he created Adam and man became a living soul. Oh, look at Genesis chapter 1. Let's see. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created them. And then it came over here. Let's see here. It's in there. I'll just have to find it. I'm going to keep going, though. But it says God blew in Adam the breath of life, and it said, and man became a living soul. So that breath, there it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that's what he's saying here over in Genesis chapter 6 when he says, and God said unto him, the end, chapter 6, verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. And then he talks about all how to build the ark, very specific. And he tells them, verse 17, I, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. So he breathed the breath of life into Adam. So that's man. That's human, the species man, which is both male and female. The sex of man is male and female. The sex of the species of man is male and female. From under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. Chapter 6, verse 17, at the end, and everything that is in the earth shall die. God just told him, I'm going to kill everything. God done told you to build a boat, and now he's going to tell you what he's about to do and destroy the earth and kill everything. 18. But, okay, every time you hear that word but, you're going to cancel some things out that you just said. He's saying, but with you, but with thee, will I establish my covenant. So see, the covenant was established with Noah. It's right there. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. So God's saying, you know what? I'm going to save your whole bloodline. Noah, watch this, because you walk with God. It didn't say nothing about his sons and his sons' wives walking, or his daughters walking with God. It just said Noah walked with God. Which tells me the father can impact the family. Hear me. The father can impact the family. Look at that. Noah and his whole family. His sons and daughters and their spouses. His sons and daughters and their spouses. I'm sure if they had kids, also their kids. Because Noah walked with God, that grace on Noah now extended throughout his family. And so at verse 19, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. They shall be male and female. See, God knows that, okay, I'm going to destroy everything, but in order, when I get ready to start over, I got to have a male and a female so that they can reproduce and refill the earth. He didn't say male and male, and he did not say female and female. He said male and female. Of fowls of their, after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Of two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, that thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded, so did he. That means Noah did everything God told him to do. But see, Noah's walking with God, so he'll have no problem with obeying God because he's walking with God. Now, what a terrifying thing to hear that your creator just told you, I'm going to kill everybody except you and your family and two of every animal on the earth. How horrific could that be to hear that from your creator? Oh, you're grateful that you're not one of the ones who are going to be killed, but then your heart's going to go out for the ones who are going to be killed. See, that was God's judgment. Remember, this is the Old Testament. Jesus has not come yet. See? Jesus has not come yet. And Noah, because he walked with God, was seen to God as righteous. Noah was seen to God as righteous. Because it said he was perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. He walked with God. That's why God's favor was on his life. Remember what we just told you about Proverbs, about favor? How you going to find favor in the eyes of God and man? Mercy and truth? Trusting in the Lord? Obeying his commandment? Keeping his laws? Chapter 7, and the Lord God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I have seen, there it is, righteous before me in this generation. God saw righteous in Noah. God saw righteous in Noah. Now, how did we become righteous, those of us who've accepted Christ? The Word of God says, and he became sin for us, he who knew no sin. Talking about Jesus when he got crucified. And Jesus became sin for us, he who knew no sin. Watch this. So that we could become the righteousness of God in him. See, God wanted us to become righteous. But God made a pathway for us to become righteous because we couldn't live those commandments out. And I ain't talking about just the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about every commandment in the Word of God. But let's say even the Ten Commandments is included in that. Because Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. And that also includes the Ten Commandments. But God knew we didn't keep those Ten Commandments. It's just impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible for man to do that in this fallen world. But God said, I got to make a way for him. I got to send my son Jesus. He got to die for their sins because they don't sin. Matter of fact, it ain't about what you do. They were sinned by being born. They're already in the sin. Just by being born, that's why they must be born again unto righteousness. You see how it's all tied together? All the way back to the Old Testament. So the key to it is being righteous. Now, Noah got his righteousness by walking with God. And you're going to see later on in the Old Testament, Abraham got his righteousness the same way, by obeying God. It says something like, and Abraham obeyed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. There's that word righteousness again. Righteous, righteousness. See, a lot of people want to be self-righteous, but you can't make yourself righteous. You can only become righteous through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. For us. Now in the Old Testament, hey, these guys became righteous just by walking with God and believing God. Why? Because Jesus hadn't come yet. That was their only pathway to God, by believing him and walking with him. For us, though, New Testament, we become righteousness by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm going to go through chapter 7, then I'm going to end, and we'll pick up in chapter 8 next. And the Lord God said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. It's interesting he used the word generation. God is looking for righteousness, people in a generation. He saw righteous in Noah in this generation. Generations are so important throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. That's why it's so important to obey what God asks you to do in your generation. Of every queen beast, chapter 7, verse 2, shalt thou take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by seven. Look at that, by seven. He got all the birds by sevens, but everything else by two, the male and the female. Why? To keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. To keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. Seed is another important thing throughout the Bible. Seed. Seed. Natural seeds, spiritual seeds, and even people seeds. Seeds are important. Seeds are vital. And we'll do a, I'm going to show you a study of the seed, of a natural seed. Let me tell you something interesting about a seed. When you put seeds in the ground, let's say I want to go out and plant me some tomatoes or some watermelons. I go ahead and break the ground up. I put that seed in the ground, and I cover it up with dirt. I might put, you know, I put some fertilizer over it, and I cover it up with dirt, right? And I water it. I let the sun shine on that area of the ground. And for days, it looked like that seed is not doing nothing. It's actually pretty miraculous. So here's what's interesting. It looks like that seed ain't going to grow. You can go through that seed 1 week, you don't see nothing. 2 weeks, you don't see nothing. 3 weeks, you don't see nothing. And most people give up and say, well, I guess that seed must have died and it didn't grow. But here's what's happening on the other side of the earth. You know something interesting about a seed? A seed grows down before it grows up. I thought that was interesting, just to show you the wisdom of God. In that seed underground, it breaks open, and there's a little thing, a little sprout that grows down. That's the root. It grows all the way down in the ground, and it starts spreading out. You don't see nothing above ground, but if you could look underground, you'll see that seed growing and spreading and growing and spreading. It don't matter what kind of plant it is, whether it's a tomato plant, a potato plant, an orange plant, an apple plant, a watermelon, a tree, whatever. It's going to grow down before it grows up. Why? Because it's got to get rooted and grounded before you see the manifestation of it. That's the principle that God put even in the natural. See, God wants us as seeds to be rooted and grounded in this word. We're looking for God to do stuff, but we got to get rooted and grounded in this word. But just because we don't see something don't mean nothing ain't working. That's what we got to understand. Just because we don't see something don't mean nothing's not working. It's working. But see, that's why God don't want us to go by what we see. He says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you see it, you don't need faith. You got it now. Do you realize when we get to heaven, we don't need faith no more? You know why? Because we're going to be in the presence of the Almighty. What do we need faith for? We got everything we need in his presence. Everything we need. See, that's why it's important. I mean, it blew my mind when I got a little picture back there in my study room of a seed. And the interesting thing is, you can see the line where it's underground, and it's got the stages that the seed is growing down, and you see where the roots are spreading out, but you don't see nothing up above ground. It might be weeks before you see a little leaf pop through that ground. And then you know it. Then you say, ah, that seed is alive and it's working. But you didn't see that seed's been working ever since you planted it in the ground. See, sometimes just because we don't see God doing something don't mean he's not doing anything. We pray, and we wait, and we pray, and we wait. And because we don't see something, we figure nothing's happening. So what do? We give up praying. God says, I heard you the first time you prayed it. I'm working on it. Be patient. Trust me. That's in the Bible. Daniel prayed. He prayed to God. Took the angel 21 days to respond because he got caught in a warfare in the heavenly, in the first heaven. It says the prince of Persia held him up. But when he finally got to Daniel, after God had to send a reinforcement, an archangel, he said, Daniel, God heard your prayer the first day you prayed it. And that was 21 days later. Daniel could have easily have given up and said, you know what? This ain't gonna work. The stuff y'all call prayer won't work. I don't know why I'm wasting my time praying to God. He'll never do nothing for me. You just canceled your seed with your mouth. You opened your mouth and you spoke fear-filled words or doubt against the faith that you had that God was going to do what you believed he was going to do. That's what we do. We all guilty of it, including myself. See, I learned that, but it didn't make sense until I really studied a seed. And once I studied the seed and started realizing that seed has to grow down before it pops to that ground, then it kind of brought me back to remembrance. Okay, I done prayed this prayer. God is working, so I'm just going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God. You know, we're an impatient generation because of that microwave. We got the microwave mentality, I tell people. You throw it in the microwave, and, you know, 5 minutes later, it's supposed to come out hot. We got tired of throwing it in the oven. It takes too long. Takes too long. We want to see it now. We need it now. You know, the best things take time. The best things take time. I've learned that in my life and continue to learn it. Those quick wins, God don't have to rush. He don't live in time. We do. He lives in eternity. In eternity, time don't exist. We have to learn patience. Chapter 7, we're going to end here. Chapter 7, verse 4. For yet 7 days, God tells them, yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Look how detailed God is. He said, in 7 days, Noah, I'm going to cause it to rain upon the earth. And it's going to last for 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah's like, okay, I'm going to do everything you tell me. I know you God. You're going to do what you say you're going to do. I've been walking with you long enough to know that your word is trustworthy. If you said it, it's as good as done. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Now look at that. Noah was 600 years when the flood came. But watch this. If you go back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, Noah was 500 years when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Noah was 500 years there, but he was 600 years old when the flood came. So 100 years later, 100 years later, somewhere in between that time, you could think if Noah had to start building that boat right after he had those kids, that means he was building that boat for almost 100 years. Can you imagine everybody around him, his neighbors, laughing at this man building this boat on dry land? Ain't an ocean nowhere in the vicinity. He building this boat out of all this gopher wood, this big boat on dry land. All the people around him laughing at him, saying he's lost his mind. This guy building the boat, talking about he heard from God. He building this boat. And this is 100 years later. Almost 100 years. I'm not saying it took him 100 years to build a boat, but I'm saying that's between the time he had those kids and the flood, 100 years have passed. That's quite a long time. So Noah was working on that boat for quite a while. And I'm sure he was ridiculed by people, his neighbors, or whatever. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him in the ark, because the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, of beasts that are not clean, of fowls, of everything that creep upon the earth, that went in two by two unto Noah the ark, the male and the female, God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. After 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. There's a mystery behind that, too, historically, but we won't get into that. There's a reason God did it after 7 days. There's a reason of that. We're going to come back to that, but I got to show it to you the next time we teach. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, so the second month to us would be February. I'm not saying it was February, but if we measure it by our calendar today, the second month is February. So let's say February, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in February, the second month, the 17th day. So on February 17th, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now look at that. The fountains of the great deep were opened up and the windows of heaven were opened. If you all were here when I first started in Genesis chapter 1 of creation, you would understand what the windows of heaven are, and you would also understand what the fountains of the great deep was. See, in order to have a flood, you got to have water coming up, or water already existing on the earth, and you got to have water coming down, so that everything in between is flooded. So the great deep, that water, those fountains were the water coming up from underground, and then the windows of heaven was the rain coming down from heaven. Remember, he put a firmament in between that during creation. So God opened up that window in heaven, and he opened up those fountains. Now you got a flood. It flooded the whole earth. The entire planet was flooded. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl of the air, of every bird of every sort. And they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. There it is again, all flesh, wherein is of the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord God shut him in. And the Lord shut him in. And the Lord shut him in. Why do you think God had to shut him in? How come Noah didn't just close the door himself? I believe God knew. Noah walked with God, so God is full of mercy, right? If Noah walked with God, then he knew the characteristics of God. He knew the nature of God. He knew the omniscience and the omnipotentness of God. He knew the mercy of God, the justice of God, the love of God, the holiness of God, the truth of God, the sovereignty of God, the divinity of God, and the faithfulness of God, and the eternalness of God. He knew all those characteristics of God because he understood God, and we're going to do a teaching on God so that we can understand God. And I believe God was saying, you know what, I got to shut this door, Noah, because, see, you know I'm a God of mercy. So if you close the door, when you start hearing all those people outside screaming, and because they're drowning, and they're like, let us in, trying to knock on that boat, let us in, let me in. I'm drowning out here. Save me, please, please have mercy upon me. You're going to want to open that door. And I cannot allow you to open that door. So I'm going to have to shut it. So you're going to want to open that door. If you open that door, everybody in the boat's going to drown, and then you ain't going to have nothing. I'm going to really have to start over there because everything is, even you, the righteous man that has found favor in my eyes and has found grace in my eyes, even you and your family and all the animals that I was trying to preserve to replenish the earth with, they're going to be gone too. So I cannot allow that. So I'm going to have to shut the door. See, whatever door God shut, watch this, no man can open. No man can open. That's why God had to shut it. It says it right here. And the Lord shut him in. That's why God had to close that door. Because Noah in his heart would have wanted to open it to save some of those people. I believe that. So God said, no, I'm going to shut the door. Whatever door God shut, no man can open. And watch this. Whatever door God opens, no man can shut. So God opens the door in your life. You ain't got to worry about nobody coming against you and trying to push you out. Because they didn't open it up to begin with. So you got to understand that. God, the Lord shut the door. I wanted to show you that. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. and it was lift up above the earth. And it was lift up, underline that. And it was underlined first, and the Lord shut him in. That's important to remember. Underline next, and it was lift up above the earth. See, when we get raptured, we're going to be above the earth. Why? We're going to be in the sky, in the firmament. We're going to meet Jesus in the sky when we're raptured. We're going to be above the earth. Remember, there's a parallelism here to the rapture. For those people who don't believe in the rapture, everything God's going to do, he's already done, which means he's done it before, so he'll do it again. There's patterns throughout the Bible. And the waters prevailed, verse 18, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, which means the ark was on the top of the waters. There's that term, upon the face of the waters. You know, in creation, in Genesis, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. That's why I believe the earth was going through what I call a baptism. The earth was being baptized in Genesis, I believe. Because you see, once again, there's that term, the face of the waters. The only other place you saw the face of the waters was in the first chapter of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's the deep. There's the deep, the fountains of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon, watch this, the face of the waters. There's that term, the face of the waters again. See? The Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the waters. That's in creation. Let's go ahead and finish it out here. And the waters, verse 18, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. That means the highest mountain, I think it's Mount Ararat or Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the earth was underwater. That's how you know God flooded the earth. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if Noah's ark didn't land in a mountain like that mountain in Turkey where they found this structure that looks like the ark. That's how the boat got up that high, because the whole earth had to be flooded. You want to know how can a boat be put up there? God had to flood the earth. And when he abated the water, that's where they landed. Let's keep going. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And the mountains were covered. And the mountains were covered. There it is. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whom nostrils was, here it comes, the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. All that was in the dry land died. All that was in the dry land died. Get a picture of this. So all these animals and all these people died who dwelling on the earth, but then you got the birds in the sky. You know, those birds, why did they die? Because they had no place to land. Where were they going to land? There was no earth. There was nothing but water. So eventually, when they got tired of flying, they just fell into the ocean and died. There's no place to land. There's no place to land. I'm sure the ones in the ark were preserved. I'm sure they probably saw the ark, and some of them on the outside may have landed on the ark. And God was like, you ain't going to be there long because I'm going to blow you off and you're still going to die because you're going to be tired of trying to fly and find some land because there ain't no land because I done flooded the earth. You didn't make it in the boat. You got to go. All of them died. And every living substance, verse 23, destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, that they were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days. The waters prevailed 150 days. So God had it rain 40 days and 40 nights, and that water stayed on the earth for 150 days. So that's 365 years in a year, 365 days in a year in our time. 150 days, let's say an average of 30 days in a month. That's 5 months. That's 5 months. Now, we know Noah went in that boat in February, So you count 5 months, let's say from February, March, April, May, June, July. That's 150 days from 5 months from that. Somewhere around June or July, if they were using our calendar, and I'm not saying they were, the waters prevailed on the earth that long. The earth was flooded that long. Nothing could have survived except that what's in the boat. And God made sure they had enough food, enough water to feed all those animals and feed the family. He gave them wisdom on what to bring in there. And it was more than enough for them to survive that trip. So here's the point I'm making. We're going to stop right there. We'll pick up in chapter 8 next. See, that's why it's so important to read the Bible. Because you begin to see things. God declared the end from the beginning. In the end, violence is going to be in the earth. We're already starting to see it, right? The earth is going to become as one, and we'll see that too. Like the Tower of Babel, all of them were speaking the same language back then. God had to break them up speaking the language because, you know, they became one and they got kind of arrogant and thought they were gods. And you'll see that throughout. You'll see that as we continue to study the Bible as well. But everything's coming back to that. You hear today they talk about the global community. They don't want to get rid of countries. They don't want to have borders. We're going to become one. They follow in the same script that they followed in the early days of this Bible. That's why it's so important for us to understand it. Because God declared the end from the beginning, if we can understand the beginning, we'll have some sense of what's going to happen in the end, and we'll start to see it. That's why it's so important to read the scriptures and study the word and spend time building a relationship with God through these scriptures. But for those of you who don't know Jesus, that's going to be very difficult. Because what I'm saying to you right now isn't making sense. Some of it is kind of going in, and you're getting pieces and parts, but God wants you to understand all of it. And the only way you can understand all of it, you've got to be born again. I told you earlier that we were born into sin. It says, behold, I was born into sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So you don't have to do anything to sin. You were born a sinner. That's why you have to be born again unto righteousness. It's not about what you've done or what you haven't done. It's simply about one decision, and that's accepting the only way to the Father is through the Son, and His Son is Jesus Christ. His Son is our Lord and Savior. So for those of you who would like to give their life to Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I surrender. I surrender my life to Christ. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And I thank you for saving me this day. Come into my life. Change and rearrange me. Save me, heal me, deliver me, and set me free, Lord. I am yours. You created me, and I love you. I haven't done everything I needed to do. I haven't done everything right. But I know you love me unconditionally, and I accept your Son, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for saving me this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you who have prayed that prayer, I strongly ask you, find a church and find the Bible. And if you can't find a church that's open and you like this line, continue to come and listen to the Prayer News Network. Dial in and listen to the speakers that come on this line. God has a word for you. He loves you. He wants you in His family so He can lead and guide you and protect you and comfort you. Get into His word. Get into these scriptures. Find a church, a teaching church, someone who teaches you the scriptures. And God, the Holy Spirit will come on the inside of you and He'll begin to teach you. But you also need to assemble yourself with other people who believe the word of God. And that way you will learn, you will grow, and you will know that this word is for real, that God is for real. We're not playing church. This isn't some religious thing where we jump around and play church. we get inspired by the Holy Spirit and we move and we worship God because we reverence his presence, because we believe in him and we have built a relationship with him through his son Jesus. And you understand all this stuff through these scriptures. This book is the living word of God. It's unlike any other book on the planet. It's alive. And it will change your life if you simply because when you understand things, then you'll know how to walk. You'll know how to talk. You'll know how to live. So praise God. I pray that the Lord God bless you and keep you. Bless your family. Bless all of those that are around you. I pray that the Lord God will take his word and bury it deep on the inside of your heart, and that you will continue to listen and use it and get results in your life. I pray that the Lord God, whatever's missing and whatever's broken in your life, that God will restore it to you sevenfold, and that everything that has been taken from you will be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to obey and continue to pray, and God will change your life, will never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Anyone else who has any questions or comments? Praise God, sister. Anyone needs prayer? Well, praise God. Well, if there's no one else on the line that needs prayer or has any comments, I can go ahead and close the line. Sister, I know you're having some difficulties, but I can close out the message. You guys continue to listen to the Prayer News Network. And dial those numbers that you need. If you want to get a copy of this message, you can get a copy of the message. And the way you would do that to get the message, you can get it internationally on WhatsApp by dialing 678-608-7234. And if you also want the message, you can text Prayer News Network at 229-0914. That's 229-529-0914. And one other final way to get the message, you can also get the message by dialing 912-257-3918. 912-257-3918. And if any of you need a Bible and you can't, let us know. And you can text us and let us know that as well. And we'll try to get one to you or mail it to you or some kind of way get it to you. Because God wants you to know his word. And continue to pray every day and continue to read the scriptures. Read the scriptures because they are so important. And before you read the scriptures, too, I'm going to say this. I always pray a prayer before I read the scriptures. I say, teach me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. That's my prayer. Teach me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Because the Holy Spirit's been sent here to lead and guide us all truth. So he'll open up your spirit, open up your mind, open up your understanding to understand the word of God. And you'll begin to see things jump off the page at you, and you'll see stuff that you did not see before. God is unveiling and revealing himself to you by using the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. I talk to him all the time. Even when I lose something at home, I misplace my keys, you know what I say? But they help me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I stop looking for him. And just to show you how assured I am, I do this all the time. And my wife said, have you found the keys yet? I was like, no, but the Holy Spirit know where they're at, so I'm just going to let him show me. And I just go on about my business, doing whatever else. I stop looking for them because I know he's going to show them to me. Within minutes, he shows them to me. Within minutes, oh, there go the keys right there. Or, and you know what? It works every time. I believe just in that simple thing that I'm trusting God by saying the Holy Spirit going to show it to me. See, we got that. If we really believe God is real, trust him. Trust him. You believe God is real, trust him. And then you speak it as if it already happened. You speak it, you say, Holy Spirit going to show it to me, so I ain't going to even look for him no more. And you act accordingly. You know, you speak it and you act accordingly. There was an assurance that he's going to show it to me. I'm assured by that. And that's just a small thing I do. And that happens almost every other, I ain't going to say so often because I don't lose my keys that often. But when I do, that's my response. Because I know he's with me and I know he's in me and I know he loves me. And I'm assured that he's going to show me. So I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to doubt. He knows where everything is. Why am I going to waste my time looking for somewhere he knows where it's at? He knows the solution to every problem. He knows the answer to every healing. And if you believe God's going to heal you and God says, do this, go do it. Don't question it. Don't ask. Don't even try to understand it. Just do it. And you'll see the results. But God is real. God is just as real as we talking to each other right now. So anyway, I need to close this out. Heavenly Father, we're going to close this message out. Thank you, Lord God, for all the people who listened and heard your word tonight. May you continue to bless them and keep them. And I pray healing over those who need healing, Lord God. Those who didn't come on the line and ask a question or who was afraid or who just, you know, didn't feel like they had anything to contribute, they are just as important to you as anyone else. Father, heal them from where they're at so they'll know that you're real. I thank you, Lord, for healing them. I thank you that the next time we come on this line, they're going to be giving a testimony. God, heal me. I didn't ask him. He just did it. God, heal me. I know he's real. Prove yourself to them, Lord God. Prove yourself to them. Let them know that you're real. You know, that's going to draw them. They want to believe, but they don't know. Prove yourself to them. I ask you that, Father, in the name of Jesus. I know you're real. You've shown yourself to me so many times and continue to. I'm not a perfect vessel, but I'm a willing vessel. And you let them know, Lord God, that it's not about what they've done or what they have not done. It's simply because of the blood of Jesus. And you love them unconditionally. Father, thank you for this day. And I give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Continue to bless everyone that heard this message tonight and bless the PNN network. I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And that concludes the Prayer News Network tonight. Thank you all, and remember, invite someone. Tomorrow, there's going to be another message on the Prayer News Network with another speaker. May God bless you and keep you, and may you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. In Jesus' name.
Goodbye.